hear it.
I personally did the announcement.
Okay.
How about that? Should we just get started with that one?
Sean, give him a call. They're going to miss out something good here.
All right. But John's getting a taste of his own medicine because he does it to me about every week.
What?
Oh, boy.
Hey. It's okay with me. I'm not going to worry about it. You warned them?
I hope they didn't fall on deaf ears, but one of them said, okay, we'll be there.
Okay.
Hey, I'm here.
Promises. Promises, promises.
They're coming.
Totally here.
So they say.
Okay. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer, and maybe a few more stragglers will come in.
There you are.
Yeah, I heard a missionary over in Israel said that when they had a time set up, it didn't matter. People just came in when they wanted to come in. So they never started with the full crowd. Never ended with the full crowd. All right. Hi. There you go. Oh, we missed you now, Johnny. Oh, and Janie. Yep, okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and open up with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne and so thankful for the blood of Christ. And Lord, thank you so much that you stood in our way and again shed your blood that we could be saved from all our sins. And we thank the Lord that the salvation is not just past sins, but God forbid, present and future sins. We come before your throne. We ask, Lord, that you be the teacher today. Teach us out of your word. Open up your heart, Lord. May the Holy Spirit open up the hearts of these people as well as me and teach us something great and glorious out of your word that will draw us closer to you and closer to the work that you have for us down here. Be merciful to us and remember again our frames are but dust, and without you, Lord, we can do absolutely nothing. And what a great time of history we're living in now, Lord, where you can show your power. Do so today, we ask in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.
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 Yeah, there's not much light.
Oh, look at that. Wow, I can see that.
Here we go, that's better.
All right, well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 9.
Aww. It's you with Will Abercrombie. That's where he got it. When Abercrombie was small. And his lap.
He's just a little itty-bitty cat. And you look close enough, you see where he's...
What?
He speared me with his claws. His claws are sharp.
He's marked you.
Yes. Well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 9. Lord willing, we're going to cover just the first three verses. I'd like to have gone to five verses, but I think you'll see the material here pretty good. This is one amazing book. And I will tell you, the more times you read it and the more times you study, the Lord it will start connecting all the dots for you, and it'll become a live book. And that's the way it is. The book is alive. It's not just a bunch of printed words. It's alive. So let's all read together Romans chapter 9, 1, 2, and 3. Starting with verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. All right. Well, we start with the... I will tell you, I did look at a commentary of someone that I highly respect. And I looked at it, and it there's none of it in my notes. Zero. Zilch. I couldn't even begin to teach the depth that this guy went into. Because I couldn't even connect any dots with the text right here. So I'm just telling each year, you guys don't need the commentaries. All you need is the Authorized King James Bible and a good Bible dictionary. And trust the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you for the truth that he wants you to have. Now, the first phrase here, I say the truth in Christ. I need someone to take a look at John 17:17. Do I have a hand for that one? I need someone to take a look at John 16:13-14. And I need a third person for John 14:6. Do I have any hands yet?
What was the first one you didn't give somebody for?
Yeah, John 17:17.
I'll do that.
Okay, go ahead, read that one.
Okay. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth.
Okay, so when we take a look at the phrase, I say the truth in Christ, there's a reference that this book we have here, we all have a copy. I know, you left yours at home. you got a copy? Oh, you got there. That's good enough. That's good enough. Okay, but the Authorized King James is truth, cover to cover, word for word. Don't even play with the words themselves. It is the pure word of God. We have the truth today. Let's look at the next one, John 16:13-14. Who's got that one? John 16:13-14.
Guess that can be me. All right.
You got it, Jenny?
Yeah, John 16:13-14.
Okay.
Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you.
Amen. So when we look at the phrase, I say the truth in Christ. Truth, we have the Word of God. The second truth we have here is the Holy Spirit that indwells us after we get saved. He is the Spirit of truth, and as the Spirit of truth, he bears witness to the truth that's in the book, and he will guide you into all truth.
Amen.
That's the promise. Don't look at these big name people with all the big name books and say, boy, I wish God would talk to me. You've got the book, you've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he's going to tell you the truth when you read the book. Every time, every single time you pick up the book, he will talk to you. Now, when I pray, I ask the Lord to open up his heart. Because when you read through Scripture, you'll find different people where God says, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not talking to you. Forget it. I don't ever want to be in that position. And we could do a whole sermon on people that God doesn't talk to. And it's scary. Even that one verse, well, I never knew you. I never knew you. I don't like that verse. He knows me, okay? He knows I'm ordinary. He knows the blood of Christ shed for all my sins. That's good enough for me. That's all I'm dependent on. Now, who's got John 14:6? Or who? Okay, Sean, go ahead.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen. We have a threefold cord on truth. He says, I say the truth in Christ. We have the Word of God, that is truth. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit, that's the truth. And the Holy Spirit bears witness to who? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Three. Let's take a look at Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Who's got that one?
I do.
All right, Johnny, go right on ahead.
Yeah. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat.
But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
How about that? A threefold cord. That is what we have here, a threefold cord of strength. The Word of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, our Savior. Threefold cord. Now, if you notice right in here, is not quickly broken. So there can be a break in it. Who's got 2 Corinthians 11:4? Okay.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
Yeah. Now notice in here, another Jesus. That means there's a Jesus that there's no truth in. Another Jesus who's fake. And unfortunately, guys, there's a lot of fake Jesuses running around. Okay, you notice on here it says another spirit. Now we just shared with you, Jesus is the truth. The indwelling Holy Spirit you have is the truth. And what do we have here? Another spirit. A fake spirit that matches a fake Jesus. And if you notice in here, it produces a fake gospel. A fake gospel that does not save. Now, there's one thing missing in here, but we can easily piece it together. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 2:17. Because we've shared with you that the Word of God is truth, the Holy Spirit is truth, and Jesus is the truth. Who's got 2 Corinthians 2:17?
I got it.
Okay, go ahead, Janie.
For we are not as many, we corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ.
How about that? We are not many that do what? Corrupt the Word of God. That's part of the threefold. You have the Word of God, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you have the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we learn here from Scripture? The cord is not quickly broken. Well, how's it broken? Well, good night. Corrupting the Word of God.
Amen.
Corrupting the Word of God. Now, I wish more of this stuff would have been taught to me when I was younger. You know, because I hear all these people whining and complaining. Where was the authorized King James before 1611? Well, you know what? It was in six other different languages, and the men corrupted it and destroyed it. They destroyed the Word of God, and they all burned and went into hell. Now, that's a warning for you. It's a warning for me. Let's do not corrupt the Word of God. Because when you corrupt the Word of God, you're going to believe some crazy, crazy things. And it's not going to bear witness with you. You know, we just mentioned in the last couple of weeks about, on another subject, about having the wall built between the United States and Mexico. Well, you know what, guys? When I get a cut, I put a Band-Aid on it so I don't bleed to death. The border down there is a cut. And what they're doing is they're destroying Texas. They've already destroyed the state of California. They don't even know what restrooms you use in California.
I'd say it's more like an infection getting into your room.
Correct.
The Band-Aid keeps the infection out. And that's what a wall does.
Exactly. Okay, well, that's just common sense. Now, if you believe we don't need to have a wall down there, there's something wrong with you. I mean, you might as well take the book of Nehemiah and throw it out. What they do, they build a wall. Good night, guys. If you really want to have some fun with the word wall, I'm trying to think. It says to gird your loins with truth. That's the first part of the armor. Not the helmet, not the breastplate. Have your loins gird about with truth. The word gird is where you get the word girdle, and it means two things. It means to protect yourself around this way, and the other, so that's so the enemy don't come in, but it's also used to starve, which on the inside. So you take the lust nature and you surround it with the Word of God, and you choke out the life of the sin nature.
John,
and it can only be done through the book. Yes, sir.
Just have to say this. All the people against the wall, if they can afford it, build a wall around their own homes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we know a couple who are against the wall, who had somebody drive through their front wall in their house.
Yes.
The first thing they did was build a barrier to keep cars from doing that again.
Yes.
they don't have the common sense to understand walls are necessary.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Amen.
It's just common sense. So we take a look in here when the apostle Paul is writing in here. I say the truth in Christ. You guys know what he's talking about now. You've got the Word of God. You've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He talks to you out of the book. More time you spend in the book, the more you're going to have fun with it. I'll just give you one thing I learned today out of Scripture I thought was hilarious. All right? David and his men are being chased around by Saul all over the place. All over. And so he goes to Gath and signs up. And then the people at Gath say, no, you can't fight with us. Because you might turn on us and join Saul. Okay, so him and his men go back to Ziklag. And there's an interesting history about Ziklag itself anyway. They go back to Ziklag, and what has happened? All the Amalekites have stolen everything they have. Now, guys, what would happen if Saul would have eliminated all the Amalekites like he was told to do? It never would have happened. Never. Now, what was God teaching David? Because the Amalekites is a picture of the flesh nature. When God says, kill them all, kill them all. Because you don't know what diseases are there. You don't know what the practices are. Most of the pastors I've studied under have taught me nothing. I hardly remember anything they've taught. Here at BBF, I remember. Good stuff. Here I learned where the translators of the King James went through the book 14 times. You tell me any of these big-name preachers out there that have gone through the book twice. I ran into preachers, and I won't tell you where, and I ask them, how many times have you read the book? Oh, I've never read it.
Yeah.
And yet they're preachers.
Yeah.
What is wrong? They don't know nothing. So I look like the idiot because I do know something. I know the Lord. And the Lord put it on my lap. I'm not some big old brain or whatever. I'm normal just like you, but I made a 5-minute vow to be in the book every day. The 5 minutes is really 20 or more. All right, I'm in the book. So here's David, here's Ziklag all wiped out. And so they go after, he goes out with 600 men, and the Lord cuts it down to 400. No problem, why? Because God told him, you're going to recover everything. Had David went all by himself, he still would have recovered everything. All right, he would have been MacGyver. He would have found a way to burn up all their tents and get them all.
Chuck Norris.
name any of those big name heroes you like. The Hulk. All he had to do was slap his hands and it would have wiped out everybody, okay? So they're going towards Ziklag, only 400 people now. And what do you hold? They find an Amalekite, the enemy. And this guy had been a servant. And you know what? He was about dead. He had no food or water for how many days? 3. The guy's about dead. What's that a picture of, guys? What did Christ do? 3 days in the grave. This guy's about dead. So you know what? They decide to give him water. Picture of the Spirit. They gave him some figs. And who knows what figs is a picture of?
Covering for sin?
Self-righteousness.
Oh.
Genesis chapter 3. What they they covered themselves with fig leaves. They gave him figs. And then they gave him some raisins. Do a study on raisins, guys, which actually were grapes. The juice inside the grape is called pure blood. Now, how many people in the Bible you know had pure blood?
Just Jesus.
3. Started off with 2. Right. But then 1. So that has to be a picture of Christ's death on the cross.
If they had blood at me. If they had
blood. That's true. And that, I agree with you on that. I agree with you. No problem there. Okay. But I'm just saying they were pure. Whatever they had running through their system. But you are correct. All right. The blood of Christ was pure.
Amen.
How about that? Now, what it says after he had the water, the figs, picture of the sin, and the picture of salvation, his spirit revived. Wow. I just got that this morning. The Amalekite represents the sin nature. He goes through the cross. And he revives. That can happen. Guys, that's such good stuff. It really is. I'm not that smart. I didn't pick that up the other 50 times I read it, okay? Dumber than dumb. But today, the lights went on and I went, oh my, this is good stuff. But I never would have recognized it before. And why are we supposed to fellowship? Because I just shared that with you. Now, when you get something out of the book, feel free to chat with me, chat with somebody in here, share something you got out of the book.
And if you have questions or comments, that's why we call this open Bible study.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but when I'm up there teaching and I look out and everybody just looks like zombies.
They're thinking of the food. Hey, they're Baptists. They're thinking of the egg hot, the sausage ring. Okay.
Just lift, you know, if you want to lift your hand up, then you can call on you. That's fine.
Oh, absolutely. So,
ask your questions, though. This is the time to get questions answered.
So, back to verse 1. I'm hoping what we're going to try to target this for, and why we need to have that as the understanding of the truth, because when we get to verse 3, Paul's going to say, I wish myself was accursed. Now, he's already, as we show here, he's already in the Spirit. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. All right? You guys, be careful about what the world's definitions that they come up with. All right?
Yeah.
For you, studying the Word of God, go a little bit further and ask the Lord so you understand the spiritual nature of it. He says, look here, my conscience. Now, the word con here means with. The word science means knowledge, with knowledge. Let's take this and let's think a little bit. Let's go a little further. Here's the definition I think is a lot closer to what we should be studying. The conscience is our inner thoughts with the knowledge that bears witness to the truth, to the Word of God. That's what conscience means for us when we're studying the book. My conscience, my inner thoughts, he says, is bearing witness with the truth of God's Word, truth with the Spirit, truth with Christ. It's bearing witness. If you want to have a better definition for the word witness, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, that which we have seen and heard. It's a testimony. I saw it and I heard it. And then there says, and handled of the word of life. Handled. So that's what the word witness means. All right? Seen, heard, and you've handled it. When you take someone into court, especially this year, okay, did you hear so-and-so say that? No, I didn't. I heard it from somebody else. Well, he's not a witness then.
Nope.
He's not a witness. And they tried making that stick, if you know what I mean. Did not work. What you've seen and heard, you guys have seen and heard the Word of God. That's our witness to the world. We bear witness and testimony to the truth of God's Word when we share the Word of God. All right, let's take a look at, who's got John chapter 6, verse 63 and 64. John chapter 6, verse 63-64. Okay, go ahead.
It is the Spirit that quickens the flesh, profits nothing. The words the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him.
How about that? The words that I speak unto you, spirit and life. Here is the book. We have the book right here. What makes the truth of God's word, the truth of the spirit, and the truth of Jesus come alive for us? The book, all three of them combined. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, this book becomes alive. Now, it's alive without us, all right? And that's why America is falling apart, because no one's in the book. They're not reading it. They're not studying it. They don't think like Christ. I had some friends that went down to a seminar for a guy that's got like some huge church in Florida, I think, or Georgia, like around 10,000, 15,000. If I told you the guy's name, you'd go, wow. So I asked them to give me a copy of the notes. They went to an all-day seminar, and there's like 2 or 3 verses. Zilch. They spent all that time and all that money and heard nothing but rah, 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 go, go, go. They had no word of God. None. They just picked out a couple of nuggets here and said, this is it. Guys, you don't get life from rah, 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 go, go, go. You get it from being in the book. I will tell you this with the Psalms. The Psalms covers every single emotion that you and I have. And if you're like me, when you read through some of them, you're going, what's this guy bellyaching over? You know, what's wrong with this guy? You know? And then you read it a couple months later, and you're going through a trial, and you're going, oh, I know why he's bellyaching. Oh boy, I'm going through the same thing. And now that becomes your favorite psalm. The psalm's answers to every single emotion you're going through. It'll take care of you. The psalms is the heart of God. And his heart is reached out to you saying, look here, you're going to make it.
Most Christians are like the country song, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Oh, yeah.
And Christians want power, they want strength, they want courage and peace and all that. But they won't go to the Word of God. They go to all these different replacements, including the charismatic movement. When I was first saved, I went to a charismatic church for a while, and the people only took verses out of context and did very little actual Bible study.
Yeah.
But they all claimed to be spirit-filled from music and hype and everything. But for some reason, Sunday they'd be spirit-filled, but then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they'd be out drinking or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Sunday they'd come in and get saved again, you know.
Yeah.
And go through that whole thing. And it was week after week of watching that. But then when I got into a sound Bible-teaching church, I still saw so many of my Christian friends that go to, you know, psychology and, you know, psychobabble is what I call it, and trying to, instead of God's word, getting it through positive confession, positive thinking, and it doesn't. And then some obviously then go to drugs and alcohol or sex or whatever. But they're all trying to find some kind of love and peace, and they go outside of the word of God.
Yeah. But I had I probably still have it. I got a little paperback that says how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by the charismatics. All I needed to read was the inside page where they use about 5 or 6 different Bibles. And I thought, no, that's enough. Sorry, no filling of the Spirit there. The Holy Spirit does not recognize probably any of those Bibles. All right? There's a chance he may speak to someone on 1 or 2 verses, but you got the rest of it that's going to mess it up, totally mess it up. One of the things I wanted to share with you on here, if we go down to verse 6 of, I think I've got Romans 9:6. It says down here, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. None effect. The word of God will affect when you believe on the Lord. Let's take a look at, who's got 1 Kings 17:1?
I'll take it.
All right.
Okay. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.
Wow. I'm just going to put this out for you as a nugget. But take a look at Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 17. I'll read that one. But get the effect here. Here's Elijah. He meets Ahab. All right? He's confronting him. And he says to him, to Ahab, there'll not be any rain except by my word. By my word. Now, guys, if I was writing the Bible, I would have had Elijah say, buddy, no rain by the word of God. That's how I would. God did not write it that way. Elijah said, no rain by my word. Now, when you guys have your devotions with the Lord, he'll talk to you. I'm just going to throw this out as a nugget. Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting with verse 13, and we'll just go to 17. All right? When he says to Ahab, there'll be no rain according to my word, this is the reference that he's going back to. He's reading the word of God. Now, I imagine Elijah woke up one day and it was raining. And he called upon the Lord and said, what's it raining for? Our whole land has fallen to idolatry. And I'm sure the Lord had a conversation with him and said, okay, go ahead, stop the rain by my word. Now, I don't know how all the conversation went, but you guys pray and you talk to the Lord and see what happens. This is not me, guys. Verse 13 of Deuteronomy 11. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Yes.
Let me hurry up and say this. I feel like the Lord too. Back to that part, according to his word. So many in this day and age, they just want to say, pick out any scripture in the Bible and say it, and think it's going to come to pass.
Yeah.
And God ain't in it. And God didn't say it.
Right.
And right here it says, and the word of the Lord, we're in 1 Kings 17, verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him. And
yep.
Saying, the Lord told him what to say. He
didn't exactly.
Indiscriminately.
Right.
Think up a bunch of stuff that he wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah, in many cases, for money.
Correct.
So anyway.
Yeah. So if you see what the Lord says right here, this is in Deuteronomy, okay? Look at the other places in Scripture where you see famine. Look at the places where you see no rain. That's it right there. We don't love the Lord. This is going back to Israel. You guys don't love me, you're not serving me, you're following the other gods. The old-time Christians, especially in the farmers, in the farming districts, when there was no rain coming out, they had prayer meetings. They had prayer meetings that got right with the Lord. The old-time preachers would stand up for the pulpit. We don't hear about that today because there's no connection. But when you see something like that, go into Scripture and study. The word famine, I think there's at least seven famines in Scripture that you can take a look at and apply these Scriptures to it and start having your mind expand and thinking like the Lord. It's incredible. So,
and you keep in mind too, over and over, all the prophets said, the word which the Lord has put in my mouth is that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because today, what she's talking about is it's real. It's all kind of, it includes fundamentalists, Baptists. I won't name names because they've gone so far that I have to name.
Yeah.
But the guys out there running around saying, the Lord told me this or showed me this. And it's like, hey man, if you can't prove that from the scripture, then I'm going to ignore you.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be God's word.
Well, I had this happened to me and that drove me away from them. The name it and claim it people.
Yeah.
Because I'm having my issues with my ex-wife and everything that's going on. And this one guy and his wife, they got with me after the Bible, the Sunday school, and they're all about naming it and claiming it. Whatever God's will is, like, I don't think he will. God can do anything. But they're like, God can name it and claim it and do the whole thing. Jesus!
I went through that too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's God's will that your ex-wife, that not your wife, it's God's will for her to repent, but it's also not God's will that he forces it.
Exactly.
And so these name and claim people are basically asking God to go against his own will and his own word by forcing somebody to do something they don't want to do. That's why the name and claim thing is just tested by the word of God itself, reveals itself to be.
Right, because they're making a God in their own image.
Yeah.
And making themselves God in their own image.
Yeah.
By the confession of their own mouth, they can create whatever world they want to.
Yeah.
It talks about earlier in Malachi 3:6. It talks about, I am your God and I change it not. And, you know, whatever he put out there, that's it.
So that's, yeah, there's not new revelation. There's a lot of that goes on and says, you know, the Lord told me. It's nowhere in Scripture.
Exactly.
And they say, well, the Lord told me.
Yep.
Well, it's not in the Bible, so we jump.
Yeah. Well, probably after the time I die, I'll never forget the other church I attended, where the quote founder of the church said, open to the crowd like this, what can we do to see our attendance increase? So I raised my hand and I said, well, Jesus sent them out two by two. And he says, John, that doesn't work today. Said that from the pulpit. It doesn't work that way today. We can't do that. Okay, he left and a new preacher came in. same crowd. And the new preacher said, but what can we do to help this place grow in attendance? So I raised my hand. Okay, John. Well, Jesus said. He sent him out two by two. John, that doesn't work. We can't do that. The third guy that came in. I'll tell you the names after we're off the air. But the third guy didn't even have to ask him because he said from the pulpit, guys, I've tried it, it doesn't work. From the pulpit. There's a lot of things that I'll probably have to stand before the Lord. I'm trying to use First Sovereign Land to get everything cleared up. But I'm not going to have to stand before him and say, your word didn't work. I don't have to worry about that one. I'll tell you right now, the Lord said about two by two, and why? We just read Ecclesiastes. He sent them out two by two, because when the one falls, the other will pick them up. Yeah. It worked, guys, it works for the Jehovah's Witnesses. It works for the Mormons. Where'd they get it from? Baptists. Alright. Pentecostals raising their hands. Okay, wave off. Where'd they get that from? Well, good night. The old time Baptists did that. Old time Baptists. They used to be called shouting Baptists. I've got a cassette tape at home where it's from a camp meeting up in Indiana. All the guy's doing is reading Matthew 23. And you could sense the spirit of the crowd going, amen, amen. I mean, they knew what was coming because they knew the book. And you can sense that on the tape. Now, The other churches I'd be at, if they read that through, they'd all be, you know, picking their nose and cutting their... They don't have a clue what's coming up. Incredible. And if you want to take the eight woes that's found in Matthew 23, and there's a matching eight blessings from the Sermon on the Mount. Another great sermon there. Let's take a look. Let's go ahead and see if we can... Yep, we got a closer up. Okay. Romans chapter 9. Yep, we got a closer down here. Let me show you what the target was going for. Paul says in verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Right? You guys already know from Scripture, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. But here he is talking about the Jews. You know, I know a minister that went to Italy to win Italians to the Lord. Nobody in his church was from Italy. They were from Morocco. They were from Israel, Iraq, Iran. Guys, we have a calling, and it's not just one particular group. Amen. But we go after who the Lord puts in our path. So when we come down to verse 3, for I could wish that myself was accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. It's already obviously he's talking about the Jews. And what does he say he wish he could do? He had such a heaviness. Remember, he killed Christians. He had them killed when he cast out his testimony. He went into homes and destroyed homes. He put them into prison. Now he's saved. He realized that the sorrow and the heartache that he brought on everybody else here. He said, I wish I could die in the place for them. He said, I would not mind going into hell that all my brethren could be saved. No. Guys, he was in the Word of God. Johnny.
It is just a thought of an interesting thing there. Is that it's a good thing God didn't let him do that, though.
Oh, exactly.
Because
couldn't.
Jesus already did.
That's right.
Correct. But see,
Jesus already did just that and
became a curse.
That's right. And so he could wish himself a curse. He knew that Christ is the only one.
Right. And the curse means to be condemned, to be damned.
The heaviness.
See, how close are we to the Lord to where we would wish that for Worthington? Okay? Or wish that for other family members? And it's not going to happen. The only way they're going to get saved is by hearing the book and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working. When you and I go out and share the gospel with people, we have the book, we have the Spirit, we have Christ. No one else on the planet, unless they have an authorized King James or an authorized whatever edition, you know, they have in their own language. We have the power. We're just not using it. And that's what we're trying to aim at today. Get to know the Lord, get to know the book, and get to know His power.
Amen.
And you'll be able to see spiritually and then see what the Lord does from there. Let's pray. Okay, Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be in your house. We thank you for meeting with us today. And I just pray, Lord, that the truth sunk in, that we have the truth of God's Word, we have the truth of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of truth is going to guide us into all truth and speak of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Be merciful to us now and bless your word to our hearts. And bless the upcoming teaching and preaching every word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm interceding a bit.